Hello, this is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today, we're going to talk to Wichita State Athletic Director Darren Boatwright. Just a few minutes after the news conference, removing the interim tag from Isaac Brown, he is now the head men's basketball coach. So, Darren, let's start. How do you explain what are the main differences in job responsibilities between being the head coach and being the assistant coach? A lot of them are probably obvious. As the athletic director, you probably have some that maybe aren't so obvious to us.
Well, simply, suggestions are easy and decisions are hard. And when you slide over 18 inches into that front seat, you're no longer giving suggestions or recommendations. You're having to decide what the action is in every situation. And not just during a game, but in preparing for a game, how you're going to plan your practices. In preparation for a game or a week with multiple games. So you have to really be comfortable in calling the shots and being able to take ownership when they don't work and being able to share the credit when they do work.
So if we go back to November, we all know this was going to be an attractive job. You know, we got great fans, great support, winning tradition, American Athletic Conference. No doubt you were getting deluged by people who were interested in the job. What's the process of kind of starting and working with those people while also having Isaac as the interim coach?
I think you have to be open and listen to everything and then eliminate what you don't like or what you don't think will necessarily work. Then you have to do your best to determine that when someone recommends an individual for a position, you have to determine, are they trying to help you or are they trying to help themselves? And that's why you hope to have or can have a close association with people who have ties across the country where you can find out the real story on why you got that call. Is the coach trying to get rid of a coach on their staff, or are they genuinely think someone's ready for your position and you start looking into them. So that's number one, is just you have to be cognizant of the time that you have. And that was one thing in this process that is a positive and a negative, because we knew we had a good length of time. So the way I did it is identified several individuals that I thought would be good candidates for our job, and then watched them throughout the year and watched their press conferences. Now most every game is broadcast on some platform that you can have access to. I tried to watch as many games as I could and see their styles of play. If that's something that would fit our conference and our expectations as a program. We have gotten accustomed to a pretty exciting brand of basketball here at Wichita State over the last several years. And I think, although you don't let it make the entire decision for you, but I think there's an expectation from our program and those that support it of this being an entertaining 2 hours of time whenever we take the court. So you can watch a bunch of games and just kind of see if you can find what you're looking for. When you get into interviews and things like that, interviewing is a skill, and you can be a really good interviewer and not a good coach. And you can be a terrible interviewer and be a fantastic coach. So you don't want to bank it all on the or make it all about the interview. You have to. It's important, and it's getting more and more important today because of the amount of media outlets that there are, and podcasts, and the regular print media. Digital media now, so there's so many outlets that it is important, probably getting more important
But you can't just let an interview be a deciding factor.
At the news conference, you mentioned gauging interest in the position. And again, we would think really highly of our basketball job here at Wichita State. For all those obvious reasons, did you learn anything interesting about how this job is perceived nationwide throughout this process?
Yes. You know, there are some individuals at the top of the Power Six leagues that were interested in our job, interested in leaving some pretty big name programs just because of the passion, the energy, not having to combat football, being the show in town, being right here in the heart of the Jayhawk Conference and having those relationships and access to the junior colleges is a positive. You know, we've now shown that not only was this a good job capable of getting to the Final Four in the 60s, it still is it was in 2013 and still be done again here. So some jobs just aren't built for that. I think the way that we do things from a first class standpoint is also very impressive to people.
I guess the obvious follow-up question is who, but you probably won't tell me that. But you think these people were not just feeling you out or fishing. They were really interested in seeing more about this job.
I think they were interested. Now, some were interested because they may be getting a pink slip in the next 24 months. So, but again, that's on me to determine why are they interested. But yeah, I think they were genuinely thought this job was a good one, and our move to the American helped. So when the rubber meets the road, you have to see if they're trying to get a raise at the job they have. You know, but I get impressed and annoyed when a sitting coach tries to make third person contact with you. I'm impressed that they are doing it themselves. A little annoyed because they're shopping around while they still have a season to coach. I would prefer they wait till the end of the year, because I'm not going to talk to a sitting head coach while they still have games to play anyway. So, when you have representatives, agents, things like that call, you know, it's not as concrete that the coach is interested. I mean, that's what an agent is supposed to do, is to get their client involved in other opportunities. But when a coach makes contact with a mutual friend or a mutual acquaintance, that says a little something about their real interest.
I thought maybe one of the best moments from today was when Isaac Brown mentioned you stopping by the office after the loss to Oklahoma State and telling him, we've got a good team at Wichita State. We were shorthanded. I've talked to enough coaches to know that when the athletic director stops by, you know, that's not always a great situation. What do you remember about that meeting?
At first, I thought he had me confused with someone because he said it was real early in the morning. And to those that know me well, I'm not much of a morning guy. But, you know, I try to be visible in this department. I think that's important. I drop by the track and field offices or the volleyball coaches' offices or the golf coaches' offices as well. I want them to be comfortable around me and not get that feeling of uneasiness when they see me walk into their practice or walk into their office area. I think that's where you begin to develop good working relationships, because I can assure you they're not coming to seek me out in my office. I have one of the nicer offices on campus and nobody comes to see it. But that's part of it. I remember going into that game thinking that this is going to be another test. We had just lost to Missouri, I believe, the week before. And I thought we came out very well prepared for Oklahoma State and did a really good job. And, you know, we ball goes left or right an inch, and we're playing in overtime. And we only played eight guys that day, and only had eight guys that day. And so I was impressed by that. And the preparation going into it, knowing we were only going to have eight, and the plan that the coaches put together and implemented, I just thought that was impressive to me.
So being the basketball coach at Wichita State, it's, of course, a lot about winning games, but it's also about a lot more than that. Both Dr. Muma and Isaac Brown talked about academics and graduating athletes today. It's about being you're the face of the athletic department, maybe even the university. You've got to meet people. You've got to sell tickets. Probably the highest profile job in the city. So with all that going on, how do you think about all that, you know, kind of in the early days of your evaluation process?
As I said in the press conference, you know, just see if they can handle the moment, whatever the moment is, and, you know, put them in situations where they have to handle a critical decision with a student, or they have to handle a critical situation with one of their assistant coaches, or nowadays when you say assistant coaches, I'm basically talking about extended staff and videographers and all kinds of people. So, but you know, just by nature of working with humans, you have things pop up over the course of 5 or 6 months that somebody is going to have to address. And if that's a permanent head coach, it's in their stratosphere to handle. So, we went into this with Isaac and treated it like he was the permanent head coach from the beginning. And any situations that arose like that, then I'd give him the information, and he was eager to handle it. He didn't back down from anything and made good decisions on how to handle it. And that was, you know, that again was impressive to me. Someone who had never been in those positions, you never know how they're going to respond. And he did a really nice job.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of unique, difficult circumstances for everybody in this. Did you have any past experiences in your athletic administration experience that were helpful in navigating all this and making this choice?
Yes. Now, this is the first men's basketball search that I've done as an AD. But in other head coaching positions, I've been involved and got a few right and got a couple wrong. And you have to learn from those things. And, you know, if you got a hunch, bet a bunch. And, you know, you learn from your mistakes and you try not to repeat those things where you fell short. And in this case, with is our most recognized sport, and in a lot of ways, it is the face of our athletic department, and like you said, in some cases, the university. But you know, those past experiences where you mess something up, or you know, you just try to make every call, even if you're hearing the same feedback. Try to make every call and check them out, and that's what we tried to do. And I leaned on a lot of people's opinions outside of Wichita. And a couple in Wichita, just to get different perspectives, and very appreciative of those that made themselves available for our program.
When you talked about this job throughout the last few months, you would talk a lot about giving Isaac a full evaluation about the body of work. Why was that so important?
Well, to me, and again, this is just the way I went about it, I wanted to eliminate the fact that Isaac had no head coaching experience, because I didn't want to use that against him. And, you know, as I mentioned in the press conference today, you know, Isaac's 51 years old. He has a lot of time, years, and experiences invested into this sport. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for that. someone that's committed and had been patient and learned from the caliber of coaches that he's learned from. He's been around some good ones, and see how he implements those things that he likes about the way they did things, the things he didn't like about the way that they did things.
Yeah, I thought that was the other interesting moment, or not the other interesting moment, one of the interesting moments when you talked about that, hiring young coaches and how that can go badly. So you mentioned Isaac's long road to this point. He's 51. He's coached at high school, junior college, 5 NCAA Division I schools, and they're all kind of across the spectrum of what we would think about as far as resources and status and those kind of things. Why has college athletics leaned toward, I guess, the hot young 30-year-old like you mentioned?
I wish I knew why. I think people got into a mode for a while where, you had to have played college basketball at the highest level to be a head coach. That's not generally who we all learned under, either as players or as young assistant coaches or managers or whatever. There's several managers, former basketball managers that are very successful basketball coaches. And we have a couple at the junior college level from our program that are doing that now. So I just think that the variety of experiences that Isaac had in those levels that you just spoke of, I have a ton of respect for high school coaches and small college coaches. For whatever reason, sometimes they get looked down their nose at by people at Division I level, and I think that's ridiculous. Some of the best coaches in the country are high school coaches, and it's not a question or not of why aren't they at the highest level. You got to know them. Maybe that's exactly where they want to be and have always wanted to be. I know growing up in Kentucky, the high school coach was a big deal and, a very important, popular position in the whole state in Kentucky. So, and I'm sure it's the same here in Kansas. So, but for someone who's had the patience to go all the way up those ranks, I'm a junior college guy. I played for a man at Shawnee College with over 800 victories. And he could really coach. But he would tell you immediately, he can't coach a bad player to be good. So he recognized about recruiting and how important that is in his programs. And, there's just little nuggets like that that I think you pick up along the way when you have a broad brush approach to your experiences. And Isaac has that.
You mentioned several times not getting caught up in the emotion after a win or a loss as you were making this evaluation. How hard was that to stick to? And I guess what I really want to ask is, was there even just a tiny part of you that after Wichita State beat Houston wanted to run down there, grab the microphone, and hire Isaac at that point?
No, and I think that's the coaching staff background in these. John Wooden used to say, control your highs and your lows. Don't get too high after a positive moment. Don't get too low after a negative moment, because you're the same guy. And proud peacock one day, feather duster the next. And I just think that you have to be able to remove emotion from decisions sometime and do your best to select who's best for your program at that time.
That would have been hard for me to avoid, but I get it. That's a smart approach. How often did you attend practices to, observe, get more of a feel for Isaac's style?
I attend practices most every day. And sometimes I'll stay 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes I'll stay 5. But, you can see what's going on in practice by the way they performed in the games, too. And this team continued to improve throughout the year. They continue to develop consistency. And Isaac, as an interim coach, was not afraid to eliminate some minutes as the year progressed, which in a lot of cases you see an interim situation. That's not the case. They try to make everyone happy, and usually doesn't end well. But I attend practices, like I said, most every day. But that, to me, a practice is that's the classroom. And when you evaluate a teacher, you want to know how they perform as a student teacher sometimes. But I tried not to camp out in there because I wanted him to be as comfortable as he could. From a department standpoint, there are enough pressures that come with the head coaching position. You don't need an AD breathing down your neck every day either. And I think it was good with the COVID year that I wasn't on every trip, and. We had an administrator almost every trip, but it wasn't necessarily me. And I hope that brought some comfort to him where he could not worry about impressing me and, worrying about preparing the team and implementing a game plan.
Talking to the Shockers, talking to his players, or, feeling out what they were saying or what they felt about IB, how much was that a part of your process?
Well, I wanted them to have a voice. I wanted them to feel a part of the process. I talked with them back in November before naming Isaac the interim. I wanted to get, especially those returners, I wanted to get their thoughts and just kind of where their head was. Because even before a game was played this year, they've been through a lot. When you talk about we had two pauses early on that the public never found out about. And so we had two, 14-day pauses. We had two of those. And, these guys come to get an education, yes. But basketball brought them here. And, to get here and put all that time and effort in, into their trade and not get a chance to play, it was hard on them. Going through the transition of coaches is hard. I could remember going into practices some days and you don't know who's going to be out there. There may be 7, there may be 10. I went into women's practice one day and Keepa had 4. But I don't think you let the players call the shot. And you don't necessarily bow down and just do whatever they want, because they're here for a very small amount of time. It's really, really important while they're here that they're here for a small amount of time. And like a lot of cases, it keeps getting smaller with the transfers and transfer portals. Kids go shopping a lot nowadays for a new location. But it was important, but it was a contributing factor, not the deciding factor.
The Shockers won on the road a lot, which I think everybody would agree is really difficult. They won a lot of close games, which in my mind would indicate some good things about keeping composure, about having a plan, about being prepared, having the right lineups. Were those two items significant, or how significant were they in your evaluation?
They were, they were definitely factors. I think it's the most difficult thing in college sports is winning a college basketball game on the road. And I've been a part of some teams that just could not do it, and then see the teams here the last 12 or so years or 11 years that I've been here. the pace in which we went on the road under Greg's leadership was unbelievable. And, you know, for Isaac to lead this group, and those close games are hard. A lot of times it comes down to, did the right guy get fouled? You know, sometimes it's people get frustrated when you have a bad night at the line, at the foul line, but sometimes you need to look into that box score and see who went to the foul line. That has a lot to do with it. And, you know, and I think I'd like to see someone else try to coach Morris Udeze in being an 85% foul shooter. That's one of the most impressive things I've seen. And I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. I give a lot of the credit to Mo for that. I mean, he's spent a ton of time working on his game. So, but, yeah, winning on the road, winning close games, coming back in road games sometimes, that's hard to do. You know, playing in the sterile environments that we've played in this year has to be difficult for, you know, you feel like when you're watching it, you feel like you're watching a scrimmage game every night. And I know to play in that setting must be difficult as well. But all those things matter. And you try to take them into account and not let one specific thing sway you one way or another. But just try to evaluate as many factors as you can.
That was a famous Mark Turgeon reply when you would ask him about free throw shooting. He would shrug and say the wrong guy got fouled. So, yeah, it's a big part of it. Will you look back on an aha or a light bulb moment where you thought, oh, this is he's the right guy?
I don't know that I could identify one moment. I got to develop a comfort level. And to the point where, you know, I knew our team was going to be prepared. I knew that our team was enjoying playing with one another. I knew that with as many newcomers as we had, that Isaac and the staff had brought them along into a team and done a really, really good job with that throughout the year. And they continued to perform more consistently and perform well. And so an aha moment, I don't think there is one, but it was just a compilation of the year.
Could we think of the Houston win at Koch Arena as the closing argument?
It was significant. You know, I have a lot of respect for their program and the way they are coached and the way they play. They remind me a lot of Nolan Richardson teams back in the mid-90s at Arkansas, because they were just relentless and they would just beat on you and come, you know, just come in waves almost. And they didn't care about fouling. And, you know, those are 230, 240-pound men out there leaning on each other. And, you know, it's like a heavyweight boxer when they get locked up and you see them just tapping each other in the back with those big old mitts. Over 8 or 10 rounds, that takes a toll. And that's kind of the way Houston plays. And for us to just keep at it and keep at it. And we played a good game there. We played a real good game at Houston. And so, you know, it was a significant step forward, a signature win, if you want to call it that. And I think we have a couple more in us before this season's over. So,
what made Friday the right day to announce?
Well, I had indicated throughout the last few weeks that I wanted to wait till the end of the year. And then as it became clearer and clearer that Isaac was going to be the choice for the job, and we were battling for a NCAA berth, which we still are. We had we had 10 days go by where we weren't going to have played, where we were not have played. And we were, and not only the Shockers had become a national story, Isaac had become a national story. And I didn't want to, important last weekend in February, go by and the Shockers not be a part of the national discussion in some form or fashion. So when those games got canceled, I just thought last week would be the week to go ahead and do it. And, you know, we got a big media bump on Friday. And then as you flipped around on games on the weekend, they continued to talk about Wichita State. And that's not the reason they did, but I think it is a reason they did. And, you know, heck, it's Monday. Who's to say we're going to play this week? So as of right now, we are. But I just wanted to go ahead and get a little jolt out there of attention, and I think it seemed to work.
I saw Joe Lunardi had the Shockers a number 10 seed today, so that was a nice point of information. Do you know who brought the confetti cannon to the practice on Friday for the announcement?
I heard Tyson Waterman did.
Okay.
That was a surprise to all of us. You know, and unfortunately, in today's age, if you don't know a big pop is coming, scares the daylights out of you when you hear it. And I didn't think going with Isaac would be that unpopular that somebody would come shoot me, but you never know. I'm sure there's a few that would volunteer.
Whoever it was, if it was Tyson is a good idea. I would support more confetti cannons here at Coke Arena. That was kind of a nice touch. How important was it to get this coaching staff recruiting with no interim label and kind of start setting the stage for next season?
It's always important. You know, recruiting's a lifeblood of the program. You know, I think recruiting and scheduling are the two most important things that you do for a program. And, you know, just the comfort of the young men that our staff will recruit, and you know, just to get any uncertainty out of the way, I thought was important as well. So recruiting right now is hard enough with everything being from campus and not even allowed to bring kids on campus, even for unofficial visits. So to go ahead and get that done, where our guys could contact coaches and put that to bed. But that was just one thing we could control and go ahead and get in front of that a little bit. Let them start recruiting.
I think one of the best things Isaac has been able to do is give confidence to, like, he's had some guys who have struggled with their shooting. He seems to be able to bring them along. You mentioned the playing time. He's had some guys struggle kind of in and out. He's kept those people engaged. I think that all comes back to his, you know, his personality, and that's kind of his reputation as that kind of caring people person. What kind of sense were you able to get for that part of his coaching?
Well, he's a positive. He's just a positive person all around. He's the same every day. They know what to expect. You know, he's gonna bring his best every day, and he expects you to do the same. You know, when you have a coach, and especially if you're a shooter, and you have a coach tell you, I'll take you out for not taking the shot, but I'm not going to take you out for missing the shot. You know, so as long as they're good shots, take them. You know, and I think that just gives a confidence to a player to try to score the ball, and you know, that he gives freedom on offense if you give effort on defense. And I think that guys like that. That's the offensive end is a bit of a reward for them.
So let's run through the last 5 years. Wichita State joins the American Athletic Conference, hires Keith Adams, hires Eric Wedge, builds a student athlete center. We've got COVID-19. We've got social justice. We've got hiring Isaac Brown. Do athletic directors, do you thrive on these moments, or are you ready for a period without a major decision on your desk all the time?
I would prefer to never have to hire a head coach, to be honest with you. It just, these things like that can go sideways so quickly. And you can do everything right, and you can hire the right person, fund them in a way where they can be competitive at a level that your program deserves. Hire the person that's had success somewhere else. Travel first class. Invest in the facilities. And all that does is get you level. That doesn't guarantee one victory. That just gets you level to where you have a fighting chance. Then you need some skill. You need some luck. You need to get a couple guys that perform a little better than you expected them to when you brought them here, and gals. I'm very proud of the facility upgrades that we made as part of the Shock the World campaign with the university. I think that's important. It's a tremendous upgrade for our track and field program. Tremendous upgrade for our academic services area. It affects every young person in our department. So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud, and Brent deserves a lot of credit on the baseball project just because it meant so much to him to get that done. And speaking of Brent Kimmitz, we're proud to get that finalized, and I'm happy Gene got to see it. You know, that was wrapping up his vision for X Stadium, and he got to be a part of it, and to have Eric leading that program when it gets finalized, and to participate in the fundraising, not just in soliciting, but giving of his own finances. That's leadership, and so happy about all those things. Now we just try to keep going and maintenance the programs and the facilities as much as we can so we don't fall behind.
We'll wrap up with this. Isaac Brown's life has changed a tremendous amount over the last few months, and changed again on Friday. Right now he's kind of in the coaching basketball bubble, but then it'll change again once the season's over. How do you help him through all these changes to adjust to his new role?
Well, I want to be, as an athletic director, I want to be there for him, and I've said this and gotten criticized for it sometimes, but when my philosophy is, when you hire a head coach or you begin to work with a head coach, it's almost like you become servant of them. And because we have 15 sports here, I don't know how to throw a javelin. I don't know. I have no clue what's going on a volleyball court. So I want to have the relationships and the comfort with our coaching staffs so that they can explain to me what they need to be successful. And so I want to be there for him. And hopefully you have the relationship with your coaches that when they ask for something or they have a need that they bring to your attention, I want them to know if we have to say no, that's our last resort. We want to exhaust everything we possibly can before we say no. And no, oftentimes, just means not right now. And so I just think that's where we as an administration have to be there for Isaac. And, I thought it was smart for him and mature of him to bring on a guy like Billy Kennedy that can be, be with him a lot. They spent a lot of time together, and Billy has a very long coaching career and many experiences, literally from coast to coast. So he's seen a lot, done a lot, and won a lot. And having him sit beside Isaac on the bench, I think, was a smart and very selfless act and mature act for Isaac to do.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.